You guys, when I'm capturing the flag, you need to guard me! You need to guard me when I'm capturing the flag! Move out of my way!
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Seth has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Paula has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C. Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. How's it going, everybody? I'm your host, Lance, a.k.a. Seth. And tonight, we actually got a lot to talk about today, but here's a quick summary of what we got going on. There's a new Dead Island Nova, the Titanfall minimum PC requirements have been put out. Star Citizen actually makes use of extra funds. There's an indie horror adventure game that uses biofeedback. And there's high hopes for Destiny's new game, or Bungie's new game, Destiny. So what's all going on, guys?
Hey, dude. Not much.
Oh, I almost lost breath during that intro. I was like, oh my god, I have to cough. This is going to be terrible. Okay.
It's a gamer's body for you, bro.
Yes. What are you talking about? My body is like a Grecian god.
Whoa.
I treat this like my palace.
Like 5 gallons of tequila.
Ian's body might be.
There you go.
Yeah, I have to agree on that. Like, he's got a pretty nice body. Have you heard his voice?
I did vote Ian as the sexiest Mexican of 2013.
This is true.
Anyway, this is a gaming show, right?
It is?
Nope.
It's all about you and your sexy body. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, this is a gaming show, actually. And, you know, we play a lot of MOBAs, particularly... Well, actually, no, we don't.
We play a lot of MOBA.
I did...
League of Legends.
No, I did actually play Smite and Dota a little bit and Heroes of New Earth. But anyway, there's a new MOBA that is coming out, and it is a Dead Island MOBA. Now, this is kind of far-fetched, and... I don't see how this can possibly work. I mean, what do you guys think about this? Do you think this is even a viable option?
What I want to know is what they're going to use for creeps. Like, okay, one team gets zombies. What does the other team get?
Zombies.
Yeah, more zombies.
It's going to be good zombies, bad zombies, and badder zombies.
Ooh.
That's exactly what I'm picturing right now. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Do the badder zombies have, like, leather jackets and dark sunglasses?
Oh, yeah.
It's probably going to be more...
Chain wallets.
It's probably going to be featuring, like, the... I thought they did have, like, big, almost tank-like zombies in the game. They'll probably be there.
Well,
like, super minions.
The only thing they could do is, like, do survivors and, like, quarantiner people, you know, like, where they kill everybody and the zombies, and then have the zombies.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
See, when I read about this new MOBA... It doesn't, it's like, it's not a a defense of, you know, defend your inhibitor MOBA. It's like, I think there's three teams of four. And they're supposed to, like, grab supplies, hold key points, and outsmart the competition and blast through hordes of zombies. So it's like a free-for-all, and there's also zombies, and the zombies are against everyone.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, with nowadays, if you're going to make a MOBA, you do have to do something different. Like, you can't just stick to the normal League of Legends, Dota kind of MOBA. You got to try
works.
To... Yeah, it does. It does work, but...
For League of Legends and Dota.
Yeah. If you want to do a MOBA now, you got to try to do something different. So, you know what? Honestly, if they're doing something like that, you know, more power to them. If they're going to try to be innovative and come up with something different, personally... I don't really like change, so I probably won't be interested in that. But hey, they're trying something different.
If it's free to play, I'll play it.
But this is a direct quote from them, which I don't know. I found really, like, obnoxious and annoying. Controls are good old WASD, which are touted as the cure for last hitting mouse click to move nonsense, which was a quote from them. Like, so you're making a MOBA, but you're going to make fun of the, you know, the core play style of a MOBA, which is a push to, you know, move to click and last hitting to get gold.
So Titanfall, you know, everyone's looking forward to this game.
Except,
you know,
Josh.
The beta has been announced, which, by the way, is going to be a closed beta, unfortunately. But we do get the minimum PC requirements that are for it, which are pretty interesting and kind of expected. Of course, you need to have Windows 7, 8, or 8.1. And this is minimum requirements. 64-bit. You can have an AMD X2 2.8 or an Intel Core 2 Duo. With 4 gigs of RAM. What are the other ones, guys?
The preferred settings is that what you see on the bottom?
No, I think those are still... No, that's just the video card.
Ah. Those settings are not that high. I mean, any average PC gamer should easily be able to play that. Maybe not on ultra settings, but... I honestly don't think the game is going to be that amazing on the PC, just for the simple fact that it is on the Xbox One. It was made to be on the Xbox One. So I don't expect like the PC version is going to be like way ahead of it visually. So,
well, it's made by Call of Duty, so the graphics can't be that great.
Oh my god.
Ouch.
Also you have to have Origin, which, you know, is another super plus.
Yeah.
Because everybody uses Origin, right?
Is Origin publishing it? I didn't think EA had anything to do with it.
Yeah, you have to have Origin in order to play the game.
All EA games, you have to have Origin.
Yep.
Guy.
I know. It's pretty bad.
Which, but Origin is like Steam when Steam first came out. It's trash.
Which
Origin is the origin of migraine you get when you install it.
I mean, you know, give Origin maybe 2, 3, maybe 10 years, and maybe it'll be where Steam is. I don't really see it getting to that point, but
the problem with Origin is that only EA games are on it. And as we all know, EA games are mostly trash, wrapped up in like billions of dollars worth of investments to develop games.
Maybe nowadays. But before, I mean, EA, look at EA Sports. Those were great. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Look at Battlefield 4 when it was first released. Well, and SimCity.
A free game like SimCity 1.
Yeah, was kind of disappointing.
I think you also got maybe like a Tetris game or something. There was like a Tetris game on there. That was super great.
You got Minesweeper.
It equals out to the game that you bought, so it's okay.
Pac-Man. Good games.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of awesome games, Star Citizen is one that we're looking forward to. You know, we've been following their Kickstarter for a while, and they've already surpassed their funding, which is great. So what do you think would happen or should happen when a company has more money than what they budgeted for the game?
Hookers,
yes.
See, I was going to say strippers.
Lots of hookers.
You just like totally bypassed what I was going to say.
Well, you could go to a strip club and bring a bunch of hookers.
okay.
And this is exactly what they're doing. But no, seriously, Star Citizen is actually doing something that a lot of people don't normally do. They're making use of their extra money. They're actually adding in star systems. So they're making more content, and if you guys look at the article here, like it actually, they go on to say that that's what they believe. If we gain extra money, we're going to use that and add more features. Like they're not just going to pocket it, which is amazing. That just makes me more excited to play Star Citizen, because we know now that if they're going to take something like this, just free money that they're getting from this the global populace, then we know that when the game does launch, they're going to continue to update it. They're going to continue to patch it. They're going to maintain it and make it a great game.
And game developers should pay attention to this. Because a lot of they just pocket it, and you know what you get? Nothing.
SimCity?
Yeah, there you go.
The Old Republic?
Because it is a...
The Old Republic?
I'm pretty sure it is the only crowd-funded game.
Yeah.
These guys are awesome. The game looks gorgeous. You would have thought like some big developer has made it, but they haven't.
Something that super impressed me when I read this article was the fact they held a vote for adding a new star system in. And it was, I think, the Kampala system or the Oritani system. And, you know, they had a poll like, okay, you know, what does the community do want us to add? The poll was so close that they were like, okay, we'll add both. I thought that was like super cool of them.
Yeah. That is really cool because it's like, hey, you only get to choose one. It's like, we'll just add both because we have that much money.
And that's what the community wants. You know, the polls were so close. They're like, well, you know, we'll just add both.
Yeah. And, you know, my hat off to who's actually the developer of Star Citizen?
Chris Roberts.
Good people.
Good people. I like that. So, my hat off to Chris Roberts. Thank you for, you know, kind of changing the way the populace thinks of the gaming industry, the developers especially. I mean, if a lot, like you said earlier, Josh, if people follow this and keep up with it, I think we can see something, you know, a bright future for video game developing. But speaking of Kickstarters, there's a new game on there called Nevermind, which is actually kind of a funny name, but it's an indie horror adventure game. Now, the cool thing about this is the fact that it uses biofeedback. Now, what exactly does biofeedback mean? Well, it's going to monitor your heartbeat and your stress levels and actually make the game harder based on how afraid you are. Now, honestly, this looks like any other horror game like Outlast or anything like that, but the fact that the more scared you get, the harder the game is. So you actually have to control yourself. You have to control your heartbeat, and I think that is just absolutely amazing. I'm actually really intrigued by that.
So it's a game that will allow you to trick a lie detector test. Is that what you're telling me?
I always need to learn this.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool because I don't know what you would apply it to in your day-to-day life, but hey, there might be a situation when you need to, you know, have some strong will to control yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Like, the way I picked up on how the game works is like if you walk into a room and there's like some creepy clown in there and your heart rate jumps, you know, maybe it'll like add more clowns or something like that. It's like, oh, this guy's afraid of clowns. Let's bombard him with creepy clowns.
You know, I see this being a bad idea because I can see like some adult game coming out to where your heart rate goes up after one stripper and then there's 20 or the newt. That's bad. Bad. No.
20 strippers is bad? What?
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of gameplay footage of it is the only thing that concerns me. The gameplay footage that was there was very cut into small pieces and it didn't really show any like actual gameplay. It just showed you kind of walking around.
Did you notice... Oh, go ahead.
I was just say, so that kind of like, it scares me a little, but it's probably something to keep track of as it gets developed and as more gameplay footage gets released of it.
Yeah, this game,
it's a good idea.
Yeah, this game is very early on in development too, but I was going to say, did you notice, I don't know if you actually watched the video, but or I guess you did, that it seems like all the developers are women, which I've never seen that before.
That means it's going to kill us in the middle of the game. They're going to make our heart rate go up so fast, every guy will die.
Every guy in the world.
That's what they're going to do.
This is actually a campaign against gamers.
Yeah. Male gamers.
Male gamers.
It's like, first it's going to show us a clown, then it's going to show us like 100 strippers, and then we're going to be like, another clown, and like it's gonna just like keep freaking us out and then like showing us awesome stuff until we have a heart attack.
But, I mean, the technology is great just for the fact that imagine if you're playing a shooter. I mean, you really get into it, and it gets more intense and harder based on what you're going through.
Yeah.
I mean, if that were to take up, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that that you don't actually have to use these, like, these gauges, these feedback gauges that monitor you. You can play the game, and the way that the game is being developed is without the biofeedback, it kind of it captures like your mouse movements and like you're looking around and like how fast you're looking around and how you're playing the game. So I think that could be implemented into like a shooter horror game or something like that very easily.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, thinking about this technology just used with different genres of video games.
Yeah, I mean, like, just talking about this game is really cool with the feedback, but it's kind of like it's paving the way for more cooler stuff, same way the Oculus Rift is the Oculus Rift is awesome, but it's also paving the way for better virtual reality, you know, so.
Yeah. When this is all what we want as gamers, we want more virtual reality stuff. Well, yeah, that's something really cool that we can all look forward to. But anyway, Destiny. It's basically the new, I guess you could say Halo, not so much Halo, but the new game from Bungie that we're looking forward to. And basically, Activision just came out and said that they have very high hopes for Destiny. That they are saying that it's going to be the best-selling new IP game in history. That's a pretty bold statement, especially coming from the creators of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Basically, does this mean that we can get it on PC?
I highly doubt it. Look how long it took to get Halo on PC. It is going to be a multi-platform game, so that's it's another reason to be why on, it will have good sales. So.
Yeah, it's supposed to be on 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so. I did not know that. I knew it was going to be for next gen, but it's also going to be for the 360 and PlayStation 3.
I mean, up until now, that's what we've been told. So.
Well, that to me just seems like there's a more probability of it being on PC. If they're trying to, it's like, hey, we're going to market to not just the current gen, but last gen too, but hey, we're just going to leave out PC gamers who probably make up, you know, 50% of the game gamer population. See, I feel like they would end up putting it out there. It just doesn't seem like, as far as, if you want to be best selling, because like, think about it, you have to beat, Grand Theft Auto is probably right now the record holder for most selling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't see how you could beat that unless you put it on PC.
Is it supposed to be cross-platform? Like, I remember hearing something about it, maybe.
Or?
Like, cross-platform, like a PlayStation 3 can play with a Xbox One.
Yeah, I do not know that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I heard.
They haven't specified, so I don't know.
I wasn't sure if I heard anything about it. I don't know. What do you guys think of this game? Like, it's getting really hyped up. What are your expectations of it?
Think of how much we played Halo. I mean, we stood in line for hours at GameStop for every Halo game that came out. I actually played a Bungie game before Halo, but I won't go into that. We played Ani. Horrible. But yeah, I mean, I'm buying it. There is no question about it that I'm buying it, because we know that Bungie is a good developer. There'd be no reason not to get it.
Yeah, I myself, there's a really high chance that I'm going to be getting this game. If it does become confirmed for PC, there's 100% chance that I'm getting this game. And really, the only part that I wouldn't want to get to go out and actually buy it is just because I don't currently game on any console at this moment. So for me to want to go out and buy this game, this one game to play on, you know, a console that I don't even have yet, is going to be pretty hard for me to do. But the game, I mean, like you said, Ian, it's made by Bungie. It's Bungie, the creators of Halo, one of the most greatest video game franchises of all time. And they're starting with a new IP. And it does basically look like Halo still, which is good. It's not bad to me. It's good. And I'm really looking forward to that because they are actually were really, really great at storytelling. The multiplayer, everything they had was really fun. Everything did seem balanced. I just don't see how this game could fail. And apparently Activision doesn't either.
So, me personally, I have a lot of doubts about this game. Surprise, surprise.
Negative Apex.
But no, I mean, think about it, though. Okay, it's coming from Bungie, who, same as BioWare, has never made an MMO before. They're making the MMO on consoles, which is always a really hard thing to do. And three, it's an MMO. And people have come to expect from MMOs ridiculously high expectations. Think of TOR, think of Guild Wars 2, think of all the recent...
Rift.
Rift. I mean, think of all the recent MMOs that have come out and have had huge problems with, you know, disappointing, and I've had huge problems with having to go like free to play and stuff. And I mean, they're gonna
I agree with you, but at the same time, there are MMO elements, you know, as of right now, for the information that we have in Destiny. It's not a full MMO, it's not gonna be your standard
MMO shooter,
bland,
or something like that.
Yeah. But, you know, like that event they had where they had a bunch of people come in there and, you know, participate. And plus, I guarantee you they're getting way more money than any other developer, like, you know, even BioWare. They're getting a ton of money to make this game because they made Halo.
But you have to look at the history of MMO shooters.
They could do it.
There's never been a... Like, I can't think of very many MMO shooters because none of them has been, you know, like off the charts, like WoW or even the Old Republic, which isn't even that successful, but you still know about it because it's successful. Like, there's not a lot of MMO shooters out there that have done well.
You know, there's only one MMO shooter that I can actually think of, and it's relatively old. It's actually called Havoc. And I was super interested in this game because, I mean, it was an MMO shooter. I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I mean, how much better could you get? The game flopped pretty quickly. I'm not even sure what you could even find on the game right now. I don't even think it really made headlines or even, like, I don't even know if IGN did a review on it. But, yeah, doing a shooter MMO, and it's kind of hard for me personally to classify this as an MMO other than the fact that there's just lots of people, because whenever I think of an MMO, I think of RPGs. I'm still going to feel like this is just a shooter to me. I mean, the gameplay that I've watched, it just looks like a shooter with other people in there. I mean, I know you have classes and different abilities and things like that, but it still looks like almost Mass Effect-esque.
But you think about Halo, and let's most recently, the one I played the most and the most recently would be like Halo Fallen Reach. That's right. I didn't play Halo 4 a ton. I didn't play it a ton. But Halo 4 Fallen Reach, playing it on like Legendary and Heroic, and the AI and how it would outflank you and how it would dodge roll away from grenades and stuff like that. I've never seen that kind of AI in a shooter. Like, you can think of like Borderlands 2 or Borderlands. That is technically an MMO shooter. And the AI is not on par with Fall of Reach. Like, the AI is just not that smart. It's meant to stand around in an area wait for you to kill it instead of, you know, being dropped off by a pelican and hunting you down.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a pelican, a dropship.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I got what you meant. I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's my thoughts on it anyways.
Ian, did you have any, like, closing remarks on that game? I know you were, I mean, like you said before, you're really looking forward to the game.
We know it's going to sell well. Just for the simple fact that it is put out by Bungie. The fact that it is going to be multi-console gives it high hopes that it will be one of the best-selling games. I don't know if that's the case, if it will be the best-selling new IP, but I know that Bungie dedicates themselves to their game. When they really get into a project, you know, they make perfection. So,
well,
I think it'll be perfect.
Halo 2.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, don't say that. There's so many things you go into as to why Halo 2 or even other Halo games were bad because of the pressure they were put under to put out, keep putting out Halo games. Putting out Halo games. Like ODST was something that I love that game. That was one of the best Halo games I played. And that was just something they were told they had to put out on a project, they put it out, and they just kind of did it themselves, and it was really, really good. The same thing goes for Reach. So.
Yeah, and it's funny, I think, back to ODST, if I recall correctly, the reason they put it out was because they actually, it was for us to kind of hold us over until Reach came out. It was like, hey, here's something for you guys to play until we're finished with, you know, Halo 4. And it was, or 3, or whatever, Reach. And then, of course, that introduced a new game mode that everyone loved, which was Firefight.
Yeah, I'll totally agree. ODST was awesome, and Reach was awesome. And Bungie definitely makes good games. I just have my doubts on it being the biggest IP, also it being like one of the best games, you know?
Yeah, I have to say the same. I don't think it'll be one of the best games. Like, I don't think if I were to do another top 10 list of all time, it probably wouldn't be on there. And I know I'm saying this now before even playing the game, but I'm wondering about its future, basically, too. I mean, it may make a ton of money, but kind of like, would Activision treat the game like the way Star Citizen is treating it? Like, if they're going to have these billions of dollars or whatever, are they going to continue to make the game awesome? Are they going to patch it? Are they going to create new content?
Or are they going to hire hookers and go to strip clubs?
Or are they going to hire hookers to maintain the game?
Ooh. Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Destiny, you know, we all have high hopes for the game. I think a lot of people do. You know, it's just time will tell on whether or not this game is successful or not. You know, hopefully, maybe we'll get into the beta. We could test it out and give you guys like a first look of what the game is like. You know, I think that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, Destiny, here's to it being the best new IP. So, last week, I think it was around Friday, I believe, there was the Dice Awards, or we like to call it the Last of Us Awards.
Can we pause for a second?
Sure.
Okay.
Huh?
I want the Last of Us so bad.
What did he say? I missed it.
I don't know. I just want the Last of Us so bad. I want to play that game so hard.
So, the Dice Awards, I've actually never heard of this before. I didn't even know it was a thing until this year. But apparently, it's just video game awards, which is kind of funny because, you know, we have the Spike TV Awards. So, I'm guessing just everyone is just saying, you know, we don't really care about those. Those don't really count. But The Last of Us apparently won 10 awards in this.
Shocker.
Yeah, and I think it also was nominated 13 times as well.
Yeah.
On top of that.
I mean, it's an award show based on developers, I believe, too.
Yeah, developers vote and fans can vote as well.
So it's not even like regular award shows. It's like the people that make games are like, oh, hey, that was a good game.
Is this like the DICE, the people who made Battlefield DICE?
No.
I don't know. It looks the same.
No.
Anyway.
Or they failed to launch and had to have a bunch of patches in order to fix the award ceremony, so no.
But it was kind of neat. Felicia Day hosted the awards. You know, everyone knows she's yeah, I know Ian loves that. She's a gamer.
I never said that.
Oh, please.
Wasn't that like you told me the other day? Yeah, I kind of like that smoker's voice.
Anyway, DICE Awards.
So anyway, of course, The Last of Us won Game of the Year. They won the Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction, Innovation in Gaming. What else did they do? Sound Design, Story, Character Performance, Art Direction, Visual Engineering, Animation, Adventure Game of the Year. And I believe that was it. Yes, because other ones are like Sports Game, Last of Us 1. Best Racing Game, The Last of Us. But but some of the other games that won was like BioShock. It won for Best Original Music Composition, which I'm thinking, wow, BioShock Infinite probably could have won something better than that.
It won another one. It Action Game of the Year.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It won Action Game of the
it's
Year.
Only
too.
Because
it got two awards.
That's only because Last of Us isn't on it.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that.
And it's just funny because I think on the other one that they won, The Last of Us wasn't on either. Yeah, and Best Original Music, The Last of Us is nominated for it. So that's
wow. They were like, listen, guys, it can't be the Last of Us awards. We have to give it to other people. Just leave them out of a few categories. You know, just be nice.
But actually, one that I thought was interesting was the strategy simulator game of the year was actually XCOM Enemy Within. Anybody that plays that game, I love that game. I'm really, really happy that it won an award.
The XCOM series is a really good series, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. Have you actually played the new one, Josh?
I have not played the new one. I played the last one, so...
Yeah,
I want to play the new one.
This is my gripe, okay? Online game of the year, World of Tanks won. I know World of Tanks is extremely popular. Okay, why is not League of Legends on there?
Yeah, that's a really weird.
Well, why wouldn't Dota be on there either?
Yeah, I agree with you. Like,
or World of Warcraft.
Why is The Last of Us on online game of the year? That's dumb.
Well, wait a minute though. No. These are games that came of the year. These are games that came out last year. Because if you actually wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, World of Tanks didn't come out last year.
World of Tanks was a lot older.
Yeah,
World
of Tanks has been out a while.
Wow, maybe not then.
Cuz like you totally know more people play League of Legends than World of Tanks. More people play World of Warcraft than World of Tanks.
Of World of Tanks is like insane.
Actually, I'm going to look this up.
And it's like Counter-Strike, you know? I die instantly and just watch everybody else play.
It's a spectator
game. That's what
you were talking to me about it.
Yeah, and, I wanted you to get it.
Yeah, and I was looking at gameplay of it, and it just didn't seem all that interesting. It looked cool, kind of, but like it looked very slow.
Yeah,
like way too slow.
Yeah.
So this is rather interesting. World of Tanks tops League of Legends with 45 million players.
Wow.
Okay, somebody's doing drugs and made up that graph.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Oh, stupid ad.
In your car? It's
like... Oh, stupid ad?
There's an ad popped up. Yeah, so World of Tanks' major competitor is actually League of Legends. It has 35. League of Legends has 35 million daily active users compared to World of Tanks' 45 million. But it does log about 12 million daily users. Now, that. Okay, there's the difference. Because League of Legends logs, I believe, 22 million a day. Whereas World of Tanks logs 12 million a day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so why is The Last of Us and not League of Legends on there? Because you know 12 million people don't play The Last of Us online every single day.
Because it's The Last of Us.
They had to put it, like, well, we didn't
they
put
had
an
to
audio,
lose one category.
Let's put them on an online game. They'll definitely lose that one. We'll put it in that one.
I think that's it, dude.
That's actually pretty funny. You're probably right. But anyway, yeah, it's, you know, The Last of Us is a great game. So, you know, they really deserve to win a lot of awards, but that was a little excessive. But yeah, The Last of Us won about 10 awards during the DICE Awards.
They could have just said The Last of Us and cut like an hour of the entire award ceremony.
So, Call of Duty, you know, anybody that knows us, we are not the biggest Call of Duty fans. We're pretty much Battlefield all the way.
Gasp!
No.
I don't like playing the same game year after year after year. What is wrong with me?
I thought you played Madden, man. Oh.
No.
So, Call of Duty, though, could be changing gears, rather. Now, does this mean they're going to have a different style of gameplay or something? Well, excuse me. Can't speak English. I've had quite a few beers, so excuse me if I can't speak properly. There's a 3-year development cycle for whatever it is that they're trying to do. Actually, I did not
make
get
Call of Duty games.
I did not actually get
is
an
that
opportunity.
What they're trying to do?
I don't know. I didn't get an opportunity to read the article.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Let me explain this.
No, let me explain this. Okay. There are two people that make Call of Duty games right now. All right. Two developers. So it gives one developer 2 years to make a Call of Duty game. Hard.
Because we all know it comes out every single year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically reskinning the game and putting it back out.
Well, if you want to go that way, yes.
Now they're adding another developer. So they'll still come out every year, but it will give each developer 3 years to make the same game.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there you go.
So basically, there's no hope for any sort of change of pace with this game.
No. Maybe if they have a bomb
year, maybe if they have a whole extra year to make the game, they can, you know, do something original.
Yeah, like graphics or no. Some of the stories in Call of Duty campaign have been really good. Okay.
Yeah,
I've played it.
I'll have to say.
Maybe they can make the multiplayer not crap, or better yet, insert a filter into the multiplayer chat system that like tunes out all the 15 and 12 and 11 year old little
there
boys.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what would make Call of Duty awesome.
Yeah, because that'll happen.
If they did that, I would play Call of Duty.
We're going to lose, like, all our audience now because we just made fun of Call of Duty.
Now, I will say, kind of back to what you were saying, Ian, about the story. The Call of Duty story has always been fun. The campaign has always been fun to play. I stopped playing Call of Duty after Modern Warfare 2, but the campaigns were always like I was in a Michael Bay film or something.
Yeah.
Which is good in that regard because I would like to be surrounded by explosions in a video game. But I always really enjoyed it. Now, Battlefield's campaign, like not counting Bad Company, was kind of weak. I hate saying that. But it was kind of weak. But the multiplayer was just like, you know, way ahead of Call of Duty. But yeah, hopefully we'll see something awesome coming from, you know, the next few years. Most likely we won't, but hey, here's the hoping, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a whole year to develop it, the game, an extra year to develop the game, and there's going to be a new developer, so.
So that just means there'll be slight upgrades from what it would have been. Like, hey, there's a slight visual update, because we got a whole extra year to develop it this time, guys.
Look how nice that rock looks, guys. Look at the pixels.
They spent all year on one rock?
It's not destructible, though. One more year, we could have done that, but nope, it's not destructible. Just look at it.
If you notice the glare in the sun, especially your visor.
The controversy over them showing Call of Duty Ghosts and how good the engine was, and there was like two suns, like what? Two shades
yes.
of light coming out in different directions,
yeah.
and everybody's like,
yeah.
Yes, huh? I remember that.
I remember seeing that meme, and it's like the sun's coming from one direction, but then there's like a ray of light coming from a different one.
And the fish. The whole thing about, hey, when you swim towards the fish, they get out of the way. And it was like, oh my god, that's so amazing.
Whoa, fish, man.
It's like, hey, I'm pretty sure they did that in Mario.
But
yeah, I mean.
They did that. Dude, they did that in Half-Life, the original one, with the cockroaches. You turn the light on, and the cockroaches scattered.
I mean, you know, we rag on Call of Duty a lot. I mean, we just don't like the game. But, you know, the next few years, maybe they'll try something different. Maybe we'll check it out.
They'll have more time to optimize their engine around the next-gen hardware. So it could be pretty amazing. Yeah. You know? So.
Well, now switching gears to our tech side, there's something kind of cool on here that I think gamers everywhere would love, especially Star Wars fans. It's the lightsaber laser tag. Now, did you guys actually watch this? This is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's called Sabertron. Dun, dun, dun.
Sabertron. So,
that sounds dangerous.
What? Dude, it's better than like using, you know, hard sticks and poles and stuff out in the yard.
I just use real swords. I mean, I'm just pro like that, you know.
Do you know how many bruises I had growing up from, you know, sword fighting with like tree limbs and stuff? But anyway, this is really cool because it basically takes fencing and putting it into the technology they use in fencing and putting it into this. So it's got some sound effects and everything, and it will track, you know, every time you hit. The only downside is the swords look kind of clunky.
Childish?
Yeah, I was totally going to say that. It looks really dorky. I was going to go with dorky.
Dorky, clunky, nerdy. Yeah, I mean,
if you want to protect your virginity, you will play this game.
I mean, I don't know. Dude, it looks cool. Like,
I agree.
Sword fights, if it hits the sword, it doesn't count a hit. But if it hits something else, it does. That's going to be the only problem with it is, like, you can hit the ground or you can hit, like, a wall or something, and it's going to count it. That's the only problem I see with it. You know, with fencing, you wear, like, a electric conductive suit and your sword, you know, is electrical conducted. And, you know, if you hit anything other than a suit, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't register it.
Yeah.
But with this, that's the biggest problem I see with it is, like, accidentally hitting something else other than the player and it registering it. But otherwise, you know, if you're playing in, like, a pretty open area, it might be pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems like a cool idea. Just needs to look, have better looking, cooler looking swords.
Anyways, it's a Kickstarter, so if you guys want to check it out, it's called Sabertron.
So, this weekend, you know, we play League of Legends a lot, and there's the North American League Championship Series. I've been watching them pretty religiously. I like watching them. It's esports, you know, and I've been trying to keep up with the teams and the matches that have been going on with them. But I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to try to do this every week now. And, you know, guys, feel free to step in. If you guys watched any of these games, feel free to add any commentary or whatever. But yeah, so these are the highlights from the North American LCS of League of Legends. So on Saturday, we saw a first match of Cloud9 versus XDG Gaming. And unfortunately, I only caught the last bit of the game. But I do have the results. And Cloud9, of course, did come out ahead. They came out ahead with gold. I know, it is Cloud9. Cloud9 ended the game with 54,000 gold, where XDG ended it only with 37,000 gold.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was...
Ouch.
From what I could gather, it was a steamroll. So Cloud9 moved on. And then our second game, we saw Team Dignitas versus Team Kos. So from the Dignitas is probably my second favorite team, so I was actually rooting for them. So the game started out, the first blood actually went to Wiz and to Kos, but Dignitas was able to turn it around to make it into a 2-for-1. Throughout the game, Skara on Karthus was trying to focus on split pushing throughout the game. He was going from top to middle and using his ultimate to assist in team fights when he could. Cruiser was also split pushing from Cruiser was split pushing when the teams were trying to fight around the dragon. He actually was able to teleport in behind Team Coast's back line, and I believe he was playing Mundo, and he was actually to come in from behind them, and it was result in dragon, and I believe it was an ace for Team Dignitas. Nintendude got caught out on top, and it was resulted for a 4-2 for Dignitas. Nintendude got caught again, resulting in Baron. Skara started with a Requiem and dived their bottom lane. And actually, everybody ended up splitting up and picking their own targets. And only Wiz was able to survive, which of course ended up in the resulting of the enemy Nexus. The next game that came in was a fan favorite was TSM versus Evil Genius. The first blood went out to Pobelter. EG takes down TSM's bot lane thanks to an unfortunate flash by Wild Turtle, which was actually kind of funny because he tried to flash from their enemy blue buff and he just rammed straight into the wall. So Wild Turtle went down quickly, and it actually resulted in dragon for Evil Geniuses. About 18 minutes in, Evil Geniuses was up on kills, dragon, towers, and gold. So they were actually putting quite the hurt on TSM. It was looking pretty grim for them, but actually at around 20 minutes in, once the team fight started happening, TSM started to make a roaring comeback with kills and gold. Making it a very even game. They had a tower lead that was in TSM's favor. TSM was able to split Evil Genius at Dragon and engaged, and resulting in a 1-for-5, which was in favor of TSM. TSM was actually able to again ace Evil Genius in mid, which resulted in a Baron. And they went to the enemy Nexus to try to finish the game. Special landed a hook with Thresh on Inox on Renekton and killed him almost instantly under their tower. Meanwhile, Dyrus was tanking the tower and kind of just sitting there dancing, which resulted in a surrender vote from Evil Genius.
Did he die the whole match?
No, he was 10-0, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he got MVP for that game. So the last game for Saturday was CRS versus Dignitas, and the first blood went to Cop and Curse, and Saint Vicious on support came in from bottom to gank Skara along with Dominate to turn it into a 3-man gank in middle. About 8 minutes in, Curse was up on gold and kills, and I Will Dominate on Wukong Pantheon. Continues to just man drop on bottom over and over. Lately, as one thing we've seen this weekend in the LCS, was that Pantheon actually was picked to jungle in almost every game because of his great stun and the fact that he can just man drop pretty much anywhere. He was able to feed Draven, and of course, everyone knows that a fed Draven is pretty scary. It's pretty lethal. Dignitas goes on. Quas almost dies, but was able to flash out. And I believe he was playing Mundo. Dominate just attacks Dig and tries to kill Quas. Skara, Cruiser, and Kiwi Kid actually go down, resulting in a 3-for-1 and for Dragon for Curse. Dignitas ended up losing the fight at Baron, with Saint Vicious picking up the kill on Baron, resulting in a 4-for-1 and the Nexus, which actually ended Dignitas' 6-game winning streak. Now, unfortunately, I was not able to catch the games from Sunday, but the current standings is TSM is in first place with Cloud9 in second, and Dignitas is still in third. So that was from the LCS, and that was from week 4. So hopefully we look forward to some more exciting games. That's another cool thing about this past weekend. It was actually very entertaining to watch. And I'm actually excited to see, you know, where it can go from there. But that's your LCS highlight. So we still have Negative Apex's Quickie. And Josh, are you good to go on that?
Yeah, man.
All right, go ahead and give us a quickie.
Okay, it's time for my quickie. All right, Titanfall will be delayed on the Xbox 360 until March 25th. This does not affect all the other platforms' release, which will still release on March 11th. Rumors have surfaced of a possible Last of Us 2 sequel, so as more information comes out, we'll keep you up to date on that. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Sledgehammer Games will be the next developer for Call of Duty. They are the ones that helped on Call of Duty 3 Modern Warfare. For releases that are going to be coming out in February, Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13 will be coming out on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 February 14th, 2014. Yaba Ninja Gaiden Z will be coming out on the PC, the PlayStation 3, and the Xbox 360 February 28th, 2014. And Thief will be coming out on the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, PC, and PlayStation 4, February 28th, 2014. And that's it for my quickie tonight.
Awesome. That's a lot of good news. So yeah, thanks guys. Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, you can email us to mlrragequitradio @gmail.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitch. excuse me. You can follow us on Twitch if you'd like to watch us stream. That's twitch.tv/ragequitradio. And like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ragequitradio. And also follow us on Twitter at @mlrragequit. On Twitter, I particularly like to do some live tweeting. So if you guys are Eli's like that, you know, feel free to follow and add your input. But again, thanks for joining us on the show. Thanks, Josh and Ian, for joining me. And we'll talk to you guys next week.